Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers. From across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAM Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn.
And this is Kelly Preston, I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't, but keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood, always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Okay, we have a Beauty Queen special, and I've got Beauty Queens around the United States and the world, and I would like to welcome Chatting with Deidre. She is our top Lifetime reporter from Hollywood, Florida, and she's on the air. Deidre, are you there?
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me. Welcome back to this monthly radio show. I'm excited for tonight's show. I want to have the topic for tonight. It's going to be about faith. I think we all could use some faith and hope right now in this season. And I just want to share Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And tonight I have a special guest on the air with us. Her name is Joyce Smith. Is she there on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
So here's what
Thank
I'm going to do,
so
Deidre.
Much.
I'm gonna play her trailer real quick so people know from the movie Breakthrough. That was fabulous. Yeah. We had her on a couple weeks ago, and this is your special. Do you mind if I play the trailer?
No, of course. Let's go ahead. Let's play the trailer.
All right. This is Joyce. They wrote the movie about her, and this is Chatting with Deidre. I'm Dawn Reese, hosting Deidre's event.
Rise and shine. Breakfast is ready in 10 minutes. And don't make me come back up there. This is our town. It's a close-knit community, the kind of place where everyone knows everyone.
Hi, Miss Jay.
Hey, how are you girls? And we're always there for each other.
Nice sermon, Pastor.
What do you guys have on for the rest of the day?
Well, John has a basketball game.
Yeah, I've seen this guy hooping up around here. This kid is so lit.
Text your mom tomorrow and tell her when and where to pick you up.
And don't do anything stupid.
Love you guys.
Boys, get off the ice!
We're training for the Olympics, sir!
Cindy!
John!
He's been underwater for more than 15 minutes. It's gonna be a recovery, not a rescue.
I got something.
We got him!
We've done everything medically possible.
There's nothing more we can do.
No!
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
A 14-year-old St. Charles boy who spent 15 minutes trapped underwater is continuing to fight for his life.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
You don't know my son. He is a fighter. So I need you to be the best for John, and you just let God do the rest. You are my pride and joy. I can't wait to see you shoot those baskets and run up and down the court again.
The Smith family asked for one thing. Please pray for John.
In the water that day,
I was ready to give up, but then I hear this voice telling me, go back.
Either I'm nuts
or God's talking to you.
But I don't believe in God.
I believe, but maybe that only goes so far with something like this.
I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to walk alongside you for as long as it takes.
Did you see the Facebook page? It's gone viral.
Tommy?
I hope he's gonna be okay.
We're not gonna get through this alone. Whatever you have for me, from Brian, from John, I surrender.
Oh, call upon your name.
And we're back. Deidre, take it away.
Amazing. Just hearing that trailer just gives me chills. Joyce, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the air with me tonight. I haven't met you in person, but I've watched so many interviews and I've followed the story of John, and I just think it's incredible. And the faith that you had to pray the way that you did and to go through a tragedy like that, can you just tell us what was going through your mind that day, and what does faith mean to you? And, you know, how did this movie come to be? Like, how did your life become a movie?
Well, I'm telling you, it's a whirlwind. it just happened. When God picks something up and starts moving with it, you better be ready to run. the morning that all this came about, I was sitting at my breakfast table, and I was reading a devotion that a friend of mine had written about what do you do in times of crisis. Do you fall apart, or do you rise up in faith? Do you turn to God? Is he your first go-to? And I had literally looked at that on my, I was reading it on my cell phone on Facebook, took it and laid it down on the table, and my phone rang, and it was my friend, Cindy Rieger. And I was expecting her call, but I wasn't expecting her words. And she told me that they had just pulled John out of the lake, and he did not have a heartbeat. So, immediately, God's just giving me this challenge almost. You know, what do you do when you get that telephone call? And I was upset, I mean, as any parent would be, but immediately went to prayer. It was interesting how God had even arranged that. Weeks before, we had just started a new Bible study at our church by Beth Moore called Believing God. And before you would do your work for the day and Bible study for the day, she would have you repeat, I believe God is who he says he is. I believe God can do what he says he can do, and I'm believing God. And so these were thoughts that were getting down in my spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when that day came, you know, I had these props to hold me up. And so I jumped in the car and headed to the hospital. And the whole way there, I was praying to God. You know, please, God, don't take my son. This was a second marriage for both my husband and I. We'd lost two children by miscarriage when we first got married. And so we prayed for John for 17 years. And so he was my gift from God. And I was speaking very loudly to God to get his attention. You don't have to, but I was. And I was begging him, please don't take my gift away from me. You know, he was my gift from you. And I was also praying another prayer. Dear God, if he wasn't where he needs to be with you, please give him a second chance, because we know God is a God of second chances. And so I was yelling at traffic as I was driving, trying to get a hold of my husband, who was at work, and doing all the things on the phone that you're not supposed to do when you're driving. And at one point in time, I think I thought to myself, oh, dear Lord, I'm going to get pulled over for using my phone. And I thought, oh, I don't care. That'll just get me to the hospital quicker than get a police escort there. But, you know, when I got there, it was a small hospital in the outskirts of St. Louis, outside of St. Charles. And usually there's parking places everywhere. There was no parking place this morning. And so I was frantically looking for a place to dispose of my car so I could get inside into the hospital. And finally this little couple comes out from the hospital and go to the car. And they got in and said it, and I thought, good, I've got a place here to park really fast. And I pulled in. I was waiting for them to pull out. They didn't. And finally I opened up my window and oh so kindly screamed, are you going to move your car before Jesus comes back? Which
they probably were caught off guard.
Which brought my friend Cindy Rieger over to the car. She goes, just get out of the car and go to the hospital. She says, I'll park the car for you. So I went in the hospital, but they would not let me see my son right away. And they put me in a room in a real small little closet-like area almost. and mm-hmm. where they were letting me wait. And the sweetest little Catholic nun came in and sat down with me, didn't introduce herself, nothing. She just put her hands over mine, and she and I began to pray. And
oh, wow.
It was so amazing, the peace that just settled mm-hmm. over me. And so I was eventually allowed to go back to John's room, and where they were working frantically on him, giving him CPR. They had given him CPR for 15 minutes on shore after pulling him out of the water. And they had been working on him for 27 minutes. And at that time, I didn't know they were calling me back to call time of death. But they wanted me to see that they were doing everything they possibly could for John before they did that. So when I walked in the room, the nurse told us later on after the accident, everything went through and we spoke with her later, she said when we walked in the room, something else walked in the room with us, and she said it was so powerful, it changed not only the atmosphere, it changed the temperature in the room. And
Amen.
She said, when you got up to pray for or to say goodbye to John, to her I was saying goodbye, and you prayed, she said something so powerful moved up his body that it was pushing us away from the table. We could hardly stand there any longer. She said it upset me so. Mm-hmm. And after all things that happened that day, it was so overwhelming to her. They had to put her in the records room the rest of the day to work because she was
wow.
just so unnerved by all of it. But, you know, it's amazing how when you call upon God, and he's just there, you know. When I cried out, Holy Spirit, please bring my son back, I mean immediately his heartbeat started again. And everyone
incredible.
In the room was floored.
Yeah, it's amazing how God was preparing you for that. And you don't even know the situation that we go through in life. We might have an amazing test in the future, and that he was preparing you with the Bible studies, with the small group that you're in, and what you were reading, what you were practicing saying every day. And so when you came to the situation, you had an anchor. You had an anchor for your soul.
Yeah.
And I think that's incredible. And I want to know, have you ever seen any miracles before John's accident?
Well, yes, I have. Most of my life, I've seen different things. I've used to go to, I don't know if you've ever heard of Oral Roberts, but I used to go to a lot
yes.
of his crusades when I was a child because my mother
wow.
was friends with her family. In fact, when Oral Roberts was younger, before he was married, he used to date my sister, my mother's sister. And
how
so,
funny. I actually went to that school for a couple
of semesters. Oh, you went to the ORU? Okay.
Yeah, I went to that college.
Well, if Oral Roberts was within 50 miles of our house, you could bet we were at that tent revival, and I was sleeping on the sawdust floor. So I grew up with that kind of, you know, faith and
mm-hmm.
knowing that God could do miraculous things. But
that's amazing.
This was on a different level.
Right. I mean, John was underwater for 15 minutes. I'm sure, you know, he had no idea that he'd be in this accident. And then he was clinically presumed dead for an hour. And just for, you even just touched the hospital, the people there with your prayers, and God was not only working through you and doing things, he was doing things in the hospital, and I think that's amazing, and how you grew up seeing these kind of things, and I know that John is adopted. Can you share your adoption story and your missionary work that you did?
Well, it was my husband that did the missionary work. They,
yeah.
through our denomination, they have a group that goes down every year, and they build schools in Latin America. It's called Latin America Child Care. You can take children in that you support once a month, or not into your home, but you support them. They live there and go to the Christian schools there, and they build these schools for the kids. And so my husband was going down there, and he worked in media for years, and so he was a cameraman and did editing and stuff like that. So he would take his camera down there, and he would videotape what was going on in these times to bring it back and show it to our church. And he just
wow.
fell in love with the kids down there. And so one morning he came in, he was back home from mission trip, and he walked into the kitchen. I remember the day like it was yesterday. It's February the 12th of 2000. And he said, what would you think about adopting? I said, well, if I don't have to work, sign me up. So we did. We went down and we had a meeting that night. We went through private adoption and put in our paperwork on Memorial weekend. We were assigned John. He was 3 days old. And I don't know. I just fell in love with him the first time I saw his picture. And almost 9 months to the day, we traveled to Guatemala to get John and bring him home, having no idea any of this was on the radar screen for us in the future.
Of course. And you know what's awesome? I've looked at John's Instagram, and he just recently got engaged.
Yes.
Which is incredible. So his life was, you know, spared, and now he's going to, you know, start his own family, and he has this amazing story to tell his, you know, future kids, and to just, you know, to preach and tell other people. You guys have, you know, done so many interviews, and you've told your story many times, and it's touched so many people. I was deeply touched and moved by it, and for you to have it in a movie, like, that's going to, it's in people's homes. Like, I have it in my home, so I can share it to so many other people. What was it like to see, you know, your life played out in the movie, and what was, like, the Hollywood red carpets like for you?
Oh, my goodness. Surreal. I mean, first of all, we never went looking for the movie. The movie found us. And, you know, seeing how God works when, you know, he wants to promote his story, and it is his story, not ours. But to see it up on the big screen is just unreal. And to have the people who God put together to do the movie, it was just incredible. Chrissy Metz is just an absolute sweetheart. And she played the role so well. In fact, we had gone up to Winnipeg for one of the days of the filming up there. It was the big church scene. And so we were watching, and they'd done a sizzle reel that day, but they hadn't put all the video to it. And so I could hear this voice talking, and I thought, I don't remember ever doing that voiceover. And here it wasn't me, it was her. I mean, she'd picked up my cadence of my talk, speech, and everything, and it was just phenomenal. And I couldn't have picked a better person to have played me. Yeah. And Marcel, who played John, is an absolute sweetheart. He and John got along real well. They still keep up with one another. In fact, you talked about the DVD. At the end of the DVD, on one of the outtakes, they have a picture of John and Marcel playing basketball together up in Winnipeg in the gymnasium there.
Oh, that's so cool. That's incredible. You know, I was shocked at the movie, and even the way that it started with, you know, John just swimming in the lake, just that visual was incredible. All the visuals were so cool, and how it was played, and it was done very well. And one of my favorite scenes is when they're singing to John outside the hospital, and they're singing Ocean. Did that really happen? Did people come and sing outside of the window?
Well, no, that happened actually at our church. That was, John went down in the water on Monday, Martin Luther King's Day, January the 19th, which also happened to be my mother's birthday. But this was on Tuesday night. They had a prayer vigil at our church, and about 300 people just on the spot just showed up at the church. Wow. And they had a wonderful service there for that, for John. And then the very next day, John woke up. So it has an interesting timeline. On the third day he woke up, 7 days after that, they took the trach out. 7 days after that, we walked out of the hospital totally healed, and 40 days from the day he woke up, he was released from all doctors.
Amen. And I know I heard in an interview you say that you like numbers. I love biblical numbers, so I know 7 is completion, and 40 is, I believe 40 is, what does the number 40 mean biblically?
It's completion. It's
also completion.
After you've walked through something, it's, you know, people are talking about the 40 days of this virus, you know, thing. It looks like things are starting to settle down. So it's kind of God's numbers, like, okay, you've walked through this. I'm going to let it be done now.
Yeah. So, you know, people will see this movie and they'll, you know, they'll probably be inspired, like, wow, I wish I had strong faith like that. And do you have a favorite scripture about faith? Or what's the scripture that keeps you going and keeps you strong in your faith?
Well, I tell you, probably the one I write it in when I sign books, one of my favorite scriptures is Revelation 12:11. And it talks about how we get along in life and how we defeat the evil one. And it said, the scripture goes, we overcome him, meaning Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which was set at stone at the cross. Jesus won that battle. But it says, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's where the evil one can get to us, through the word of our testimony, and we need to guard it. Mm-hmm. But we have all power and authority, and that's where the faith comes in. Faith and trust that God will do what he says he can do, and when you stand firm on that faith, he'll come through for you.
Yeah. That's careless. None of us know what trials we're going to go through, and that's why the word is so strong, so powerful, to meditate it on a day and night so we have something to fall back on. And we all need that as believers, and to spread that to, you know, non-believers. You know, so for all of us to have God as our number one source of hope and faith for us to keep going. And, you know, this pandemic is still going. People are still dying from what's going on in the world right now. Do you have any encouragement of faith for this current season in life?
Yes, I do, and that's not to have fear. The Bible, I think it's 365 times in the Bible says, do not have fear. Do fear not.
Amen.
It tells us to fear not.
Yeah.
And that's fear is a place where the evil one likes to get to us, because if we're afraid and we don't think we can do things, then he can really manipulate us. But if we let go of our fears and trust God, he'll get us through every time. That's his promise, that he will take us through situations. He will give us his peace. He will give us his comfort, and he will supply our needs. And I think sometimes we forget those promises. And if you stand on God's promises, it'll get you out of that fear zone.
For sure. Wow. Thank you so much, Joyce. Where can people, you know, get the book, get the movie? I know some places are closed right now, but you can definitely order online. Where can people find you have a book that goes along with the movie. So where could they find those?
You can get them at Books A Million online. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them on Barnes & Noble, ChristianBooks.com. And if you want signed copies, you can go to our website, which is BreakthroughBook.com, and you can order it there.
Awesome. It was so nice talking to you. I feel like I was just talking to a friend, a sister in Christ. So thank you for coming on tonight.
I have to tell you both. Joyce said she loves Indian Rocks Beach, Florida. So she loves Florida.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, come down
That's
to Florida.
That's my second home.
Yay! Well, Deidre, any other questions? Or Joyce, do you have one for Deidre?
Have you seen the movie?
Yes, I've seen it many times. As soon as it came out on DVD, I bought it so quickly because I loved it so much when I saw it in theater. So I'll tell you something here.
I do this for Jason. Jason, Pastor Jason, is like one of my kids. Okay, he's 2 years younger than one of my sons, and so we tell this to everywhere we go. First of all, Jason and I have never had a cross word with one another, ever. He was in an 80-year-old church and was changing things up, and people weren't liking it. And all those things were happening to him. I just wasn't doing them to him. And he also would tell people he doesn't go into a women's ministry thing and pull anything off the wall and expect to walk out alive.
That's good to know.
So those are and the other thing is, that, you know, we just want people, when they see this, is to have hope, to know God can do what he says he can do, and to give them hope, because God is the hope of the world.
Amen.
Well, you two are amazing, and I look forward to meeting you myself, Joyce. And Deidre, give your mom's book before you end, where they can buy your mom's book.
Yeah, so my mom's book is called Prayers for Believers by Jacqueline McIntosh, and they can go to Amazon.com and get it there.
Hey, that sounds like one I'm going to go pick up.
Yay!
Awesome.
Well, this is
chatting. We'll send you a link to it.
Yes. Okay. Chatting with Deidre, 106.1 FM, the Heat, we're all six stations here in the beautiful Clearwater Beach Studios. And Deidre, thank you so much. We love you, and I can't wait to get you to the station. Just come here. All right, love you both. Thank you for calling Hollywood Connections.
Thank you, Joyce. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
And that was a Beauty Queen special. And next we have Teresa. She is from Sacramento, and she's doing her own special. So keep going. We'll just wait. Is Teresa on the phone? Okay, I'm going to end this video live, and I'll be right back. And stay tuned, because I'm going to do this special for her next. Okay.
It's been a long time we've been together, baby. Sharing every moment together. I hope this our love will last forever. I can move your mountain, you can move my mountain. Let's share this love, baby. I take you to the dreamland. Love and I, love and I, love and I, love and I. What love got to give, let it get to give, yeah. Love can break your heart, love can mend your life. All you got to do, baby, try and all
Well, we have another Beauty Queen reporter right now, live from Sacramento, California. Welcome. This is your half hour Beauty Queen special. Introduce yourself.
Hi, this is Teresa Velasquez, and I'm one of the pageant reporters for Hollywood Connections, and I'm also World's Classic Miss Universe Tourism for 2020 and 2021, so I'm all excited about that, and I have to keep going and doing all my appearances and just having fun with the pageant, the World's Tourism Pageant, as you know, and but yeah, I've got a lot of stuff, that a lot of challenges ahead and all kinds of fun stuff planned out.
Awesome. And what's your show about tonight, so you can tell the world?
Yes, it's a dance sport. It's also known as it's ballroom dancing, social dancing. So I wrote a book. I attended the University of Phoenix and graduated in 2011. In order to graduate, I had to write a book. I did a lot of research. And it took me a while to write this book, but I accomplished it, and I graduated. And so it's one of my passions, ballroom dancing. So I wanted to focus on that topic. I have a group on Facebook. Anybody that wants to download it, they can, you know, get a copy. And it's all in there about all the current research, all the past research from authors. So my book has a lot of research from many other authors that I use to back up my theory. And then, of course, so I have two videos on YouTube that I have, and I'm talking specifically about all the theories from different authors that back up my theory about, you know, the benefits of ballroom dance and all that. So you can go ahead and play them.
Perfect. We'll be right back in the first one. We're ready to rock and roll on 106.1 FM.
Okay.
The Heat. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Teresa Velasquez with Hollywood Connections. And I'm with the World's Tourism Pageant. I am currently the new Miss Universe 2020 and 2021. My show will be about ballroom dancing, continuing on from last show. This is the current findings. It says here, this is the book I wrote, the following are theories, current studies, observations, and explanations of the benefits of ballroom dancing and how it promotes health. For example, Alzheimer's, dementia is a health problem that many people have, not just in the U.S., but other countries. According to one of the authors, Potterwell's and some other authors of 2005, Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, but other causes of dementia can be Parkinson's disease, strokes, injury to the head, or other conditions. Dementia is a condition characterized by global decline in cognitive functioning, according to the same authors, Potterwell's and other authors, 2005. An estimated 1.9 million Americans have Alzheimer's. Potterwell's et al., 2005, explained that a study provided support for the hypothesis and physical activities like ballroom dancing contributed to health and helped protect against the risk of vascular dementia, all-cause dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. Another observation that supports the theory in this study to explain why people dance is that different cultures around the world have been known to use dance for health and healing its people. According to the author Ward, 2008, understanding the power of dance for the purpose of healing and health is essential for preventing, managing, and treating people's health conditions. Author is Ward, 2008. When dancers understand the value of dance for health and wellness, dancers will want to extend the knowledge gained and love of dance into the community as well, according to Ward, 2008. So I'm paraphrasing some of the things that these authors have said in my own words to back up what I believe, that ballroom is great for your health. And so that's why I decided to do this study. These dancers will teach others about healing and health, according to Ward, 2008. With dancing as exercise, people can enjoy its many benefits, Ward, 2008. Physically active people have a lower risk of Alzheimer's disease, and research has found that in comparison to people who hardly ever or never dance, the older adults who dance frequently were less likely to develop dementia, according to Ward, 2008. By the year 2030, about 70 million people living in the United States will be 65 years or older, according to Ward, 2008. The role of social ballroom dancing to promote better health for older adults is necessary, and people should encourage it. In a report, older adults who dance frequently were less likely to develop dementia than adults who seldom or never dance. Bridges, 2006. Based on research, it was hypothesized that older social dancers would have better balance, gait, and cognition than the older non-dancers, according to Verges, 2006. Defining the cognitive and physical attributes of regular social dancing as exercise would help dementia determine the health benefits. Planning future dance interventions would prevent future harmful outcomes to seniors, such as slow gait, falling, and dementia. Arthritis. This theory of why people do physical activities such as ballroom dancing is that exercise relieves the pain people experience with arthritis, according to Ward, 2008. James, 2004, explained that arthritis is the inflammation of the joints. Ballroom dancing helps rheumatoid arthritis and many other health issues. This supports the theory that better health is possible through ballroom dancing. Back pain. The theory of why people do dance exercise is that it promotes better posture, according to Ward, 2008. Dance exercise, such as floor work, improves core strength, the area from which all movement emanates, according to Ward, 2008. Ward, 2008, indicated that with core training, people can increase balance, coordination, control, movement, and that it helps with posture and reduces lower back pain. The quality of movement improves through dance, such as ballroom dancing, whether an athlete, social dancer, or any an everyday person, according to Ward, 2008. Balance. The author's theory regarding why people like professional ballroom dancers perform is the physical benefits, such as better balance and control, according to Verges, 2006. The same author, Verges, 2006, believes that ballroom dancing contributes to better health. The writers at Foxtrot Your Way, 2007, explained that a study found ballroom dancing helped a group of adults over the age of 60 improve balance and physical performance. breast cancer. The theory of why people do physical activities is that it addresses chronic diseases, prevention, and management. According to Ward 2008, a study using postmenopausal women confirms that walking 30 minutes per day reduces the risk of developing breast cancer by 20%, according to Ward 2008. Ward 2008 explained that provided a woman is physically active and has a healthy body weight, there would be about 37% reduction in the risk of developing cancer. Among breast cancer survivors, the more physically active women were, the lower the chance of cancer occurring again, according to Ward 2008. Ward recommends that for better health, regular physical activity is necessary, and this may include ballroom dancing. Communication. The theory about why people do physical activities such as ballroom dancing is that besides good exercise, it makes one sensitive to others and helps improve life, according to Creamer 2006 and Ward 2008. Creamer 2006 explained that after obtaining a PhD in laser physics and admission to Harvard Medical School, one doctor changed the stereotype about Harvard students being bookworms. This doctor formed the Harvard Ballroom Dance Team, winning the U.S. National Collegiate Championships. Creamer, 2006. The doctor's favorite dance style is standard classical ballroom that includes dances such as tango, waltz, foxtrot, quickstep, and Viennese waltz, according to Creamer, 2006. From 1995 to 2001, annual meetings of the American Academy of the AAO had ballroom dancing every Monday night. The doctor organized the dances, creating a casual event in which people could relax, according to Creamer, 2006. This doctor thinks that ballroom dancing helps improve a person's life, according to Creamer, 2006. Observed that besides music, movement, and exercise, ballroom dancing makes people sensitive and more aware of other human beings, according to Creamer. Ballroom dancing has helped the doctor become a better listener, more patient, communicates better, and sensitive to patients' needs. Ballroom dancing contributes to better emotional, mental, and physical health. Depression. A theory about why people do ballroom dancing is that it can help with depression. The writers of Don't Be a Wheelchair Potato, 2007, explained that exercise can help with depression, such as wheelchair ballroom dancing, wheelchair basketball, and others. People should exercise with friends and family for motivation and maintain personal connections. An observation was made about people who exercise, and this was that people who share thoughts, time, and laughter experience better health and have lower rates of death. Emotional and physical, a theory that explains why children have unhealthy behaviors is that people are not into activities that encourage cooperation, health, and fitness, according to Resinti, 2007. The author thinks that children should dance to learn how to behave with others and encourage cooperation. The same author observed the importance of games in nurturing the emotional and physical health of students. Resinti explained that the introduction of No Child Left Behind has people focusing not on the physical but the intellectual part of learning. Resinti, 2007, further added that children need to learn how to play in a nice way, and this could be done by replacing games like touch football and tag with ballroom dancing, yoga, and rock climbing. Program directors say that these activities introduced to fourth and fifth graders encourage cooperation. Resinti believes that children learn early in life the benefits of lifelong health and fitness. Energy. Perlis, 2007 theory, explains why people taking ballroom dancing, which matches the theory in this study. The author believes that people do it to feel better and more energized. Perlis, 2007, observed that Jane Marcus, an executive recruiter, took ballroom dance lessons and life changed forever. Jane took ballroom dance lessons four times a week, and even after a hard day at work, negotiating with clients, still had energy. Sharing stories about ballroom dancing makes clients appreciate how multidimensional Jane is. McDowell Larson, 2008, explained that moderate exercise daily is better for maintaining energy and boosting performance than an hour of exercise on the weekends. Exercise. According to McDowell, Larson 2008, to create a corporate culture that values exercise, we need to change attitudes. A corporate culture that fosters fitness should support the idea that fitness is acceptable, that people who exercise are admired. According to McDowell, Larson 2008, people who exercise regularly rate higher in leadership attributes. Regular exercise and effective leadership go hand in hand, according to research. McDowell, Larson 2008, explained that a study conducted by the Center for Creative Leadership, a global provider of leadership education and research, provided support for the hypothesis in the study because people who exercise through ballroom dancing regularly rate significantly higher than peers in a wide variety of leadership attributes, according to McDowell Larson, 2008. Exercise should be on the top of the priority list if career is important. Breguet, 2006, explained that social ballroom dancing is a form of recreation in senior centers to keep older adults physically fit and experiencing better health through fun exercise. Happier married couples. The theory of why people do ballroom dancing, because ballroom dancing causes people to be happier. Creamer, 2005. Creamer believes that a person can have a happier marriage leading to emotional and mental health, and this supports the theory in the study. In the case of a doctor and his wife, spending time learning how to ballroom dance is fun. Both are good ballroom dance teachers who enjoy teaching at home and abroad cruise ships. The doctor's observation is that most dancing couples have happy marriages. By spending time ballroom dancing, couples have a happier marriage. These couples learn about negotiating, compromising to solve problems during disagreements related to dance. Ballroom dancing is physical and fun at the same time. The heart. Breguet, 2006, thinks that exercise through ballroom dancing may improve cardiovascular fitness. Breguet has observed that ballroom dancing leads to better health. The writers at New Year's Resolution 2006 indicated that regular physical exercise makes a person live longer and keeps the walls of the arteries flexible, helping dampen rises in blood pressure that reduces the risk of stroke. Heart disease and stroke have become common in the U.S. and other Western industrialized nations, according to Sussman in 2007. Scientists have observed and come to the conclusion that people with cardiovascular disease eat excessive salt, too many calories, and saturated fats, according to Sussman 2007. Sussman 2007 explained that fresh fruits and vegetables should be a part of a person's daily meals. Ballroom dancing raises heart rate, prevents heart problems, and will result in better health, according to Bender, Heather, and Lee. According to Heather 2007 and Lee 2007, researchers observed and tracked 37 patients with heart disease who did regular exercise for about 30 minutes a day, five days of the week, and for one entire month. Half the group performed ballroom dance routine, whereas the rest cycled on stationary bikes. This was according to Heather Lee. In this observation of heart patients, the group who did ballroom dancing had a 28% increase in heart and lung capacity.
Okay.
And the group on stationary bikes had a 31% boost.
And Teresa, we're back. So that was a little bit more of health and wellness segment. And then what is your next segment about? We have about 10 minutes left.
Right. Now, this is just a continuation of the heart and the theories and all that, continuing on what experts agree on.
Okay. Perfect. Part two is up. And so, you know, you're more in the health and fitness. You're a dancer. You're an amazing dancer as well. My gosh. Ballroom dancing, all the stuff that she does. And then if you can follow me on social media, I'll be putting her information out there as I did yesterday. Let's go to clip two, 106.1 FM, The Heat. I'm Dawn Reese and five other stations here, Clearwater Beach, Tampa, Florida. We'll be right back.
Experts agree on better health benefits of heart patients because of quick and uninterrupted movements of the up-tempo ballroom dancing, according to Heather 2007 and Lee 2007. Writers of Ballroom Dancers 2006 explained that research suggests ballroom dancing is exercise that leads to similar heart benefits as a bicycle workout or being on a treadmill. Heart doctors are realizing the many benefits of ballroom dancing. Studies conducted on the benefits of ballroom dance by California State University at Long Beach confirm that students' heart rates go up to near maximum training rates with a few minutes of warm-up and dancing the cha-cha, swing, or polka for about 20 minutes, according to Medical Studies 2005. This supports the theory in this study of better health through ballroom dancing. Monty, 2008, has a theory to explain why people dance and believes dancing a ballroom dance like the waltz leads to health benefits. Monty, 2008, explains that the waltz is an effective therapeutic activity for cardiac patients. A doctor had 110 patients for a study with stable congestive heart failure and a mean of age 59, according to Monty, 2008. Monty, 2008, explained that a random selection of 44 subjects took place to participate in waltz training. Subjects did the waltz 3 times per week for a total of 2 months, according to Monty, 2008. The research team had observed and found that heart attack patients regained strength after training to dance the waltz, according to Monty. Another 44 subjects did exercise on the treadmill and cycle. The study found that the waltzers and the standard cardiac exercise group had improvements in cardiopulmonary function, according to Monty, 2008. Scores for the waltz group were better on functional and quality of life measures, according to Monty. The waltz training group had more improvement in mood, sleep, performing hobbies, housework, and sex than the group who did cycling and the treadmill, according to Monty, 2008. The observation determined that people have more fun, can dance with a partner, is safe, and contributes to health, according to Monty, 2008. Hypertension. Sussman of 2007 thinks that increasing activity could include fun exercise by taking up social ballroom dancing for better health and to improve life expectancy, according to Sussman, 2007. Sussman explained that a study provided support for the theory that physical activities such as ballroom dancing help protect against hypertension. Sussman indicated that hypertension has become common in the U.S. High blood pressure is medically known as hypertension, and 1 in 3 adults in the U.S. has this disorder, according to Sussman, 2007. After years of research, scientists came to the conclusion that the American diet contributes to hypertension because of too much salt, saturated fats, and too many calories, according to Sussman, 2007. The Framingham Heart Study had found that hypertension increases the risk of cardiovascular disease, according to Sussman. High blood pressure is detectable and preventable. Individuals can control high blood pressure, reduce it, and treatment is available, according to Sussman, 2007. According to this author, as estimated, 690 million people around the world and more than 65 million in the U.S. have high blood pressure. Sussman, 2007, explained that people can keep blood pressure in a healthy range by making lifestyle changes. According to Sussman, 2007, people can live a healthier life by losing weight, increasing activity, and by eating nutritional foods. Lighten up. According to writers at Medical Studies 2005, the observation is that dancers are lively, lighten up, are exciting, and enjoy the company of others. Another theory gives an explanation of why people do ballroom dancing, and reason is it changes a person's life, according to Fearless 2007. For example, Priscilla Lopez, a clothing designer and manufacturer, who is also an international style ballroom dance champion, described as a control freak that can lighten up during ballroom dance classes. This leads to health benefits like better health and physical health that supports the theory in this study, according to Frillis, 2007. The ballroom dance instructor told Priscilla that losing the last competition was an obsession with the technical side. Dancing passionately instead of technically is something Priscilla will need to work on. Memory and creativity. According to Creamer 2005, both a competitive ballroom dancer and doctor has a theory and explained that people dance because just like doctors, ballroom dancers are always learning. Creamer 2005 has observed that ballroom dancing is not all physical because in medicine, it involves memory and creativity. Competitive dancers participate about 100 hours for a 2-minute routine before entering a dance sport championship, according to Creamer 2005. Ballroom dancing is not only physical, but it also keeps the mind active and healthy. This supports the theory that better health can be achieved through ballroom dancing. Menopause. Another theory is about why women do exercise. According to Richardson of 2006, believes women exercise because it keeps women fit and active during the midlife years. Menopause is a normal part of being a woman and is a time of many life transitions, renewed energy, and commitment to good health, according to Richardson, 2006. Women should embrace the idea that to be fit, active, and attractive through the midlife years and beyond is a good idea, Richardson, 2006. Richardson, 2006, explained that diet, exercise, and proper medical care are steps women should take for a lifetime of good health. The observation is that midlife women can improve quality of life by maintaining social support, reducing daily stress and anxiety, and taking the time to relax and pursue fun activities, Richardson, 2006. Women should develop new interests and reduce work hours, taking a class or joining a club, planning one's financial future, mentor young people in one's professional field or social circle, volunteer to help, travel to learn about new cultures, and take up a new sport. Richardson explained that to stay fit and for better life, take up golf, tennis, dancing, such as ballroom dancing, instead of thinking about it. Mental health. Another theory that explains why people do ballroom dancing, that unlike typical workouts, dance such as cardio dance classes and ballroom dance classes use the mind because of the need to concentrate on steps, according to Bender, 2008. Jarrett, 2008, had observed that dance can amp up your energy and offer a dose of mental clarity. Jarrett, 2008, explained that ballroom dancing allows people to do physical movement and learn to dance in time to music while coordinating with a partner. Couples synthesize much information to stimulate brain activity for better mental health, according to Jarrett, 2008. Laura Peralta, a former dancer and dance therapist based in Scottsdale, Arizona, thinks that dance is a form of mental health therapy, according to Jarrett, 2008. Jarrett, 2008, explains that people store memories, becoming patterns that form personalities. Unlike weight lifting, ballroom dance classes challenge the mind, keeps people focused during dance class, according to Jarrett, 2008. Another observation that supports the theory in this study to explain why people dance is that dance is used as a healing tool known as dance movement therapy, according to Ward, 2008. This includes management and prevention of mental illnesses, chronic diseases, and physical disabilities.
Okay, and we're back. Teresa, what great health information for everybody around the world.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I was a saltaholic, so I'm now to the pink Himalaya salt in a little bit. And so, but give everybody your social media. We've got 2 minutes left. You were such a delight to be on the air with me, and you're special. And
yes, I have Facebook. You can go find me in my group. It's Health Issues and the Benefits of Dance Sport. And I also have my Wix website, and that would be Teresa Velasquez 12.wix. site.com/and it's World Miss Tourism 2019.
That's
so,
right.
You can find it.
And you'll be crowning the new one this year, I think, or their virtual pageant.
Last year I crowned the World Tourism Queen, and that was Nancy Contreras. And then I was given the new title, you know, World Miss Universe. So that would be for 20 and then 21.
Yeah,
so,
we have 45 seconds.
I don't know about the corona thing.
I know, 45 seconds, thing. Teresa. We'll look forward to your next month. This is her special wellness and health and getting you healthy. Stay tuned for tomorrow's show. We have TikTokers from around the world. We're so excited. And also a special singer. Bye, everybody. God bless you.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.